You ever feel like you're under an activation pileup instead of being on top of it? Well, then hopefully we have a few pointers that can help break that cycle and put you back in control on this episode of Live Free and Ham. All right. Hello. Welcome to Live Free and Ham. We are your bi-weekly podcast that explores ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. Whether you're a regular listener or first-time guest, we're excited to have you here. And as always, we appreciate your support and thanks for tuning in to this show. Before we get into today's show, my name's Eric, call sign N1JUR, and I'm with Todd.
Call sign W1STJ.
And Ryan here is still out flying the globe. His call sign is W1SNH, but we know he'll be back soon. And you know, we definitely miss him. And we hope he returns safely, and we'll have him back in the mix soon enough. Just a couple of things before we kind of get into the show. As always, we'd like to make sure our listeners know what's going on and where we can be found. As always, every month, and we're in the month of October now, we always like to host a live stream on our YouTube channel. So it's always important that you go ahead and subscribe and ding that bell so it notifies you when we go live. And make sure that you're part of all of our socials too as well. One little change. Originally we're talking about going to be at the latest October session for Nearfest, but due to some personal conflicts, we won't be there this year. So we're all sad about that, but we want to make it up to you guys. So we're going to be putting together a quick giveaway. So as always, make sure you stay tuned to our website. Check our socials so you don't forget. Make sure you subscribe to all of those and keep an eye out for an announcement. And so kind of to wrap that up, Todd, what's been going on with your ham radio life?
Not much. I've been really busy back to baseball and haven't had much time playing with the radio. Just working my third shifts. I try to get on using the flex and haven't been able to do that because I've just been busy with paperwork and stuff. So Nothing too exciting. I do have some plans that I'm trying to get done before the snow comes. Grounding my station, cleaning it up, and grounding it to the house, and doing it the right way. So Ryan's going to help me with that. And the other thing is, if I can get to it, if that gets done, we're going to try to put up the DX Commander.
Ooh, DX Commander, finally, vertical, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
All in due time. But,
want to get the grounding. And then, winter projects, I got making my Go Box and all that kind of good stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. That was a great episode episode. If you didn't get a chance to tune into that one, definitely check it out. Kind of inspiring, and I'm sure a lot of folks maybe so led to build their own Go Box, hopefully. And so, I know myself, it's one of my to-do lists, but way down on a list of stuff. I've got, a lot of projects, but none of them are related to ham radio. I've been like yourself, Todd, just running around trying to get all the stuff ready for the winter season and fall. And, heaven forbid that, things like leaf raking and a whole bunch of other stuff kicks in. But, I've got to do some winterization projects, and I'm in the middle of a kitchen rebuild. So all of that's taken some time. And then I've got a number of clients myself who have just, demanded more time of me. So I, haven't had a chance myself even to get a poda in. Like, I think my first poda I got in was literally this past Monday. And that was literally the last time I had one, was some back time maybe in early August. So it's been quite a while, I should say. And, definitely forgot how to do it.
I got to definitely get it. I haven't done a poda activation in a long time. So I'm definitely due. I was looking forward to next weekend. I was going to go down to Maryland, but that fell through. I have some family down there we were going to go see, but they're at a soccer tournament. So no point in going down there if they're not going to be there. And I was all excited because I had a park picked out and I was going to go activate a park in Maryland. So that's on the back burner. I'll eventually get down there and do it. But it's been good. I did talk on, one of the things I did talk on the repeater, I was stuck in traffic. And I talked to Ryan, and I also talked to KF4TPY, our friend Paul, and he was behind me. So I thought I came back from Mississippi, and I was like, I'm going to go down Route 3. It'll be a lot quicker. And Yeah, I was in there for 45 minutes.
Gridlock.
It was just not my day. But yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. We'll move on from that, and we'll get into the topic of the day, I guess.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that kind of triggered me that I totally forgot, and it's, you know, by the time this show airs, you know, kind of already come to pass. I mean, Kyle and both Ham Radio 2.0, Jason, did their 9-state rove, rolled through New Hampshire, and I got a chance to meet those guys. It was fun, you know, hanging out with them a little bit at Bear Brook State Park, our POTA meetup stomping grounds. And so, you know, they got a chance to taste New England a little bit and, you know, sample some of our food. But they went to one of my favorite parks that's up in Maine, called Fort McCleary, and Kyle Alpha Alpha Zero Z did a really, really good video on that. And so if you want to check out what that park looks like, definitely head over to his channel and check him out. But yeah, that was it was good to meet those guys face to face, and you know, kind of just open up the world of you know, ham radio a bit, you know, to folks that I only see on the, you know, my YouTube stream channel. So but that's not why we're here. I mean, obviously we want to kind of get into some of the stuff. One of the things you know, I kind of mentioned, it's obviously New England and it's getting into the fall season. So, you know, kind of with that, that's a trigger for me that, you know, hey, it's going to get a little cooler weather. You know, it's a little light sweater weather type thing. And you get a chance to, you know, get out and maybe activate. The parks aren't as busy with people. And, you know, when you go to set up antennas and that type of stuff. So the allure of that's drawing me in. And kind of with that, I had done a POTA activation, like I said, last Monday for me. And that was like really kind of my first, you know, activation. And I got into kind of a decent pile up. I mean, not one of my better ones, and we'll kind of dive into it, but what it kind of spurred in my thought was, you know, thinking processes was, okay, well, how did I handle that? How did I handle the activation? How could I have done it better? Kind of tweaking that process to kind of, you know, figure out how to hone that a little bit. But I really got to the thought of like, okay, there's got to be some secret sauce a little bit. There's got to be some way, you know, how do I get better as a, you know, managing a pile up? And so Todd and I kind of sat around and thought, and well, hey, you know, we should really just, you know, talk about the nuts and bolts of pile ups and, you know, what do they look like? How do, you know, what's our experiences with them? And then, you know, let's take them apart a little bit and see if there's like kind of something in there that, you know, helps, you know, you guys as activators that are out there and us, hopefully. And, you know, at the very end, we can put this all back together, assemble something and say, you know, hey, you know, this is how you do the better pileup. This is not going to be a, you know, magic bullet for sure, because we all know pileups are still a mystery. But, you know, we'll try to do our best, you know, to kind of put something together and hopefully you can walk away with something that you haven't learned, you know, before.
Yeah, very good. I, you know, for me, newer ham, heard a lot of pileups, didn't really like them when I was trying to get into them, because you could sit there for hours trying to get in and you don't know if they can hear you or not, or where you're at. But when you're on the other side, when you're doing a POTA activation and you do get a pileup, at least my experience was, it was just awesome. My first one was, I did a late shift at Silver Lake Park, in Hollis, New Hampshire. And, it was daylight when I did it. It was a summer activation, and I was all set up and things started off slow. And then all of a sudden I was getting a huge pile up. It was like one after another. I was hearing multiple stations, and I was pretty nervous. And I was at the same time getting texts from, I think you, Eric, you were texting me. I think yeah. Bill was texting me. You're doing great, Don. You're doing great. Keep it up. Keep it up. Yeah. There's a guy here. There's a guy from Greece calling you. Listen for him. So anyway, what I found was I kind of got into the zone, mm-hmm. and I just was like totally focused on working the stations, getting them in the log, moving on. And I got into a rhythm almost. And it was the first time on ham radio that I actually felt like I was running something. Like I was in control. I was calling the shots and I was managing it. And I think that's what's really cool about a pileup. You got to always remember, you're the one in control. You can go as fast as you, slow as you want. All the pileups I heard were during contests, and you got these guys who are like professional DX contesters, and you know, like they go so quick. Mm-hmm. With POTA, I didn't have to do that. I could take my own time and get it. And those guys are still waiting because they want to get you.
Right.
And you know, you don't have to be like, I'm not trying to get 1,000 contacts. I'm just trying to get everyone that's on there. And I would sometimes yell out, "Hey, I'm going to get you all. If you stay around, I'm not leaving until I get you all." And right. Eventually, the pile up will fade away.
Good point. Yeah, I mean, in essence, that is I think that's a really good stance to take. I guess you can get a little crazy you can get overwhelmed very fast too as well if you're managing a pile up and you're not ready to kind of deal with it, especially if you are a first time activator and don't know kind of what the ropes are, and you're not with someone maybe who doesn't have the same level or advanced skill in being able to handle or identify when a pileup's starting to come about. I think, one of the same similar examples for me was when I was traveling up to Vermont for business. Vermont is a very much coveted state, like Maine is for hunters. Like, it's the hardest state to get a hold of. It's one of the ones they want for WAS. It's sort of like our Alaska and Hawaii's that we struggle to get all the time. We've heard stories, from the same, activators out in those places that they, they're doing 4.5 hour activations because they have over 1,000 contacts in one park's, activation, which is just mind blowing and all. But that alone, 4 hours sitting there, I wouldn't have enough water. I wouldn't have enough food. You'd have to call emergency services because you couldn't pull the microphone off my body because I'd still be holding it. But,
well, it's funny you say that, because I do a lot of hunting too, especially when I have time to sit in front of the radio and kids go to bed, and if I'm not tired, I'll get down on the radio and I'll start seeing if there's parks out there. And the hunting, what I notice is I've seen guys in pileups and then they just say, "Hey, I'm taking a 5 minute break. I need to get a drink of water," and they stop.
Yeah.
Right. That, and then what most people do is they move on to the next guy, right? And then they'll come back. I wait. Uh-huh. And as soon as that guy calls out, I am like on top of it. Yeah. And I normally get them. But what's cool about Parks on the Air is that you can do that. You can take the break. And those guys are going to still be there when you come back. Because for whatever reason, they're trying to work you because they either need that park, it's a new park for them, or, for us, like in New Hampshire, but like Maine, or if you're Maine and Vermont, you absolutely, people don't have those states. So that's a priority for them. So they're going to be hanging around trying to get you and wait longer than maybe someone else, just making a contact or a pileup might move on into the next park.
Right. Yeah. So I think like with the Vermont one for me, it was like very much like we were just talking about. It's like a 15 minute pileup that you're handling could feel like hours. And it's very much a drinking from the firehouse scenario. So if you're caught off guard by it, you don't really know how to handle it. There's a lot of things all coming at you at different points. I think, like you pointed out, the best way to kind of stop initially is just stop, and say, "Hey, I will be, we'll put this on pause. Let's recircle the wagons here and figure out as you, the activator, how to, approach this." And so kind of before we get into like the nuts and bolts of that stuff, I wanted to kind of see if there was maybe some secret sauce, we'll say, to like why when you do an activation, if there's something that you should be aware of when you're doing it or before you do it or set out to do an activation, like maybe the park you're activating is one of those parks that's a rare one or an Atno for a lot of people. And, maybe one of the ones in high demand that people are trying to work for a specific state or, grid square or something to that effect, or, maybe it's related to some other things like time of day or hour. I mean, so let's kind of talk a little bit, just of that, the semantics around it. So like in an activation, obviously when you're going out to activate, I mean, a lot of times I don't spend time, deciding what the park is going to be. I'm more about like, okay, how can I get into the park and how can I just set up to activate and look for location? But, how do we think like park designation isn't important? Like, is it heavy weighted for a lot of those hunters that really want that stuff out there? Have you found that when you go to one park versus another, like I know you traveled from, activating stuff in Vermont as well as activating stuff down in Mississippi. And I know the one time I contacted you down in Mississippi, you had over 100 and some crazy number of contacts. Did you find that park was like, one of those parks that's in high demand or feel like it was?
Well, I don't think so, because when I looked at the park, they had a lot of activation. So I picked ones that I knew that were pretty big and pretty out there. I think what happens when I go down south is my call sign.
Okay.
So when you're down south, if you get down in Mississippi or even Florida, I can get like Arizona, some of the states that are harder, say from New England, to get all the time, and they see a W1, I think they want to jump in on it, thinking they might be even getting someone up north. But unfortunately, I'm like, oh, I'm in Mississippi, you know, on a business trip. Figured I'd activate a park.
Yeah, you know, that kind of gives that the indication of like, you know, thinking you're, you know, activating somebody or getting somebody, you know, in a space or skip zone you don't usually get all the time. So, yeah, that I didn't even think about that. That's actually probably good. Is that was sort of my same similar experience with like Florida when I went down to activate Florida. I was getting people from Texas like swamping all over me, and I was like, why is this like so in demand? I had like 40 contacts in 15 minutes, and I'm like, this is insane. How does this that makes sense? So okay, yeah. So basically your call sign can dictate, you know, giving a false sense of hope to maybe somebody thinking they're activating somewhere else, and that might draw them more to.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was in California, I mean, it was so easy to. I mean, I would get into a park, and I was in Big Bear, and I just turn on the bands were not very good, and I put up my call sign out there, and I'd hear like I'd make one contact, and then there was like a pile up, and I was like, it's crazy, right?
Right.
But I think it was really because, you know, I'm a one out in California, and they're hearing me, you know, on the West Coast, pretty strong.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't being deceitful. You know, I had the, you know, the right thing. And I would tell, sometimes I would tell the guys, because they would ask, they'll be like, are you in California or are you in New Hampshire? Because I said, yeah, I'm on vacation. Just checking.
Having to explain.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. So,
okay. So that can be a benefit to, you know, to an activator is basically park designation and in relation more to your call sign, you know, being in a, we'll call rare, you know, section. So that can be a benefit to you to, you know, being able to be part of or get more pileups. Time of day or hour, I don't know how much, like, I mean, like you kind of experienced that with the night and day shifts. And now that the time night, now that the schedules have changed that are more pertinent, have you found that you've had more of like when the night shift rolls over, you know, your pileups all of a sudden start showing up more the ones you have done or no?
Yeah. My experience is if you do a late shift, you're going to get a pile up. I mean, unless there's like a, you know, a blackout, no one can hear you. Because people want to get those late shift, you know, points or whatever you call it.
Yep.
But my biggest contacts have been during the day. You know, like when I was in Mississippi, what I have like 154, and I was only there for like what, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I mean, it was just a pile up after
more morning or afternoon for you.
Yeah, those were afternoon, early evening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
you know, right. 3-4 o'clock. Okay. You know, and then if you get into like 6-7 o'clock, now you're getting people, I think, you know, who are getting home from dinner. I mean, getting home from work, and you know, they might jump on the radio before, and I mean, but I don't know. I've done morning shifts, and I've gotten the same kind of thing. I mean, I think it really just depends. I mean, I've had a ton of parks I've gone and I can't even activate. Like I try to, I mean, I barely can get 10, right?
Right.
And then other times I get like one a minute or one every 30 seconds. It goes so quick.
Right. Yeah.
So I much rather have that than like really trying to get someone.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's especially when you can barely scrape 10 contacts together, you know, with the two sticks, there's no way you're going to make it happen. So it sounds like, you know, one of the combinations or one of the secret things are, you know, what they say behind the curtain type things is when you're activating a park, obviously park reference and where your call sign is, I would say bands have a big, you know, kind of weighing factor in it too. It's like you had mentioned time. So, you know, if you're, you know, in, you know, you want to, you know, pull up 40 meters, maybe, you know, you want to do 40 meters early morning in the day versus or late in the day, you know, or you want to do 20 late in the day. And that kind of, you know, dictates understanding the whole solar cycle stuff and where you think your contacts are. But I think the one big thing for me that, you know, I haven't really done a deep analysis on is that when you look at your, what I call my spray pattern, you know, in baseball, that's where you're, you know, you hit your pitches and stuff like that. It's the same thing when you do you look at your spray pattern of, you know, where your contacts are, where you're concentrated in what parts of the state, you know, where you're in US, you're overseas with DX, you know, kind of that's kind of helped me in certain parks that I've revisited, knowing that, hey, if I'm in this time frame, then I want to do 20, then I should be considering that I'm going to see people, you know, from this certain area. And so, you know, it's not a guarantee because we always know propagation is not, you know, 100% always accurate, but, you know, at the same time, it helps you at least, you know, feel like you're going to be able to maybe securely, you know, successfully activate the park, or, you know, you're going to be struggling for the next 2.5 hours. So,
Yeah, I mean, I also think when you switch bands, like 20 and 40 is probably the most popular bands for POTA. At least that's what I see. But, you know, when you and I were at that park by the dam.
Oh, yeah.
What was that park called that we went to? Do you remember?
It was where I could look it up while you're talking about.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, we were there, and I had activated on 20 meter sideband. I think you were doing FT8, and then I think our president W1WRA Bill, he had sent a text saying, "Hey, 10 meters is wide open," and so I switched to 10 just because I already activated the park. Like, why not? And I think we had to pile up on that, you know, a little one, but people were pretty excited. Oh, thanks for activating 10. You know, it's great that you're doing that, because I guess a lot of people weren't at that time 10 wasn't that good, but that day it had popped up and people were looking to maybe hunt different bands. So, you know, if you have the opportunity to use an off band, say, you know, you might actually get a pile up when you weren't really expecting it.
Yeah, definitely there. Yeah, I can't seem to pull that one up on the park wise, but yeah, that park was kind of an interesting park. But this is a perfect example. I remember very much I was on FT820 because, you know, for whatever reason, we just weren't getting a lot of contacts on 20. And when flipping over to 10, it was like, did somebody just poke a hole in the atmosphere and all of a sudden things were flooding in? And it was like, you couldn't slow down. You're like, dude, I could 10, I keep getting calls. I can't, you know, yell over to me to say, "Hey, dude, I'm 10 is busy."
Yeah. We're trying to leave. And like, you can't leave. I hate, you know, if sometimes, like, especially at work, if I do an activation during my lunch break. So there's a park that you and I are trying to get our kilo out. We haven't been really activated. We were on a roll for a while, and then we kind of slacked.
Yeah, we did.
We got to get back on it. But anyway, going back to that park, you know, I can typically activate that park in an hour. I can get out there on my hour lunch break, set up, activate, and leave, and get back within my 1 hour time frame. Well, what kills me is if I have to get back to work and I'm in the middle of a pileup and I got to leave because I don't want to leave because I'm in a pileup, but. You know, but then there's been other times there I've been there like, I got to get 10. I got to get 10 just to activate. I'm not going to leave here until I get 10.
Yeah, it's funny because like I've heard like a few people comment about the typical last call thing. And granted, I understand the purpose behind it. And, you know, every activator has used it to some extent to be able to boost their number. It's like kind of like boosting their numbers because, you know, everyone who throws in a last call, they panic and want to do it their favor. But I always kind of look at it as like crying wolf a little bit sometimes too when I do it, because it's like I say last call and then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just keep riding this out, and then the wave stops and you're like, oh, they've caught on to my lies. It's like, you know, recording my daughter's voice to be, you know, be on the TQ
program. Yeah, now that's cheating. I don't care what you say, that is totally cheating.
Hey, she's, you know, my daughter. I can technically.
Look at field day. You remember she was? I'm like working it for 20 minutes. I couldn't get through. She let me try.
Yep.
Does it once. Put you to shame. Next thing you know, right to her. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Put you to shame. I know. That has been, you know, one of my weapons, although, you know, it's not a good weapon. It's like a nuclear bomb. You can only use it once. After that, you're done. So, all right, cool. So we've got some things here that kind of, you know, to flush this out a little bit. So it definitely sounds like your call sign can help in certain areas where you're activating. You know, time of day and hour also ties into your bands. You know, spotting the page, you know, spotting page, that's always a guarantee. I mean, you should always spot yourself. If you can't, find someone to help spot you, because if you get spotted, then you're just going to drive more traffic. It's almost like, you know, it's almost with this day and age, with every, you know, spotting RBN site picking you up, there's like, I can't tell you how many times looking at the Flex, you can see all of the park activations and how quickly they are, and just a tap and boom, you're off and operating. So spotting is definitely like kind of the basics of the basic stuff. So, you know, do you find, I know, like, I have a couple of hunters that are always, I just know their call. I know their people. When you're in the middle of the pileup, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about this, but one of the things kind of brought to my mind was, is like, okay, is there popular kind of like, do you listen for calls that you know, or you hear, or you've seen? Like, I'm thinking like W4DAN, he's a big, you know, hunter as well as an activator. And when you hear that call, you know, do you just, you know, you put everything, set everything else down and go for that, you know, that kind of thing? Or, you know, you play by your own rules?
So I had I'm really bad with remembering people's call signs. I mean, my memory is going as it is. I don't know if it's old age or what, and I'm not even that old. Well, I don't feel like I'm old, but you know what I mean? It's like, I can't remember. But there was a woman that I worked with, or I worked a lot up here, and she was on every day, and I would just every day, you know, she'd come on the same time, and I'd, you know, try to work her, and I'd work her, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. And then I'm down in Florida, and that's where she was from. And I was on 20 meters, and I was, I guess I was close to her. So we got it on, you know, real close. And she's like, Todd, are you in New Hampshire? And I said, no, I'm not. She goes, oh, I was at that park yesterday. So it was just funny that, you know, she remembered me. And then I've worked other guys, you know, in the hunt on the hunting side, where, you know, you work the guys and then they'll switch bands. So I'll try to work on, we need, like, they'll go from 20 to say 17. Right. I'll work them on 17. They're like, oh, thanks for getting me on 17, you know? But yeah, you do recognize call signs, especially if you're on a roll and you're doing a lot of activations in a short period of time, you'll get the same, you know, people over and over again. Yep. And I like to reach out to them. But the other thing I like to do is, if it's getting too much where you can't even hear anyone because there's so many people, you know, I've listened to other activators do things, and they okay, I'm going to do ones first. Are there any ones out there? Are there any twos? And they go through the numbers, right? Then they go, any QRP, any park to parks. Yep. That's kind of, what they do to kind of, thin it out a little bit, because I've had it so many times where you don't even have to say QRZ, you just sit there and like you finish and it just comes and you're like, what, you know, you didn't even get a breath, like you're just gonna get a drink of water, and it's like, nope, can't do it, the pileup's already, as soon as that guy gets off to 73, it's like bam.
All right, so this is a good setting stage, so let's kind of set the stage a little bit. So you start your activation and you kind of getting these dribs and drabs here and there while you're kind of ramping up, as they say. You know, do you find that you can sense or know when the pileup comes, or is it just kind of these things that kind of thief in the night comes and it just shows up for you and you're like, you know, or you feel like you have that spidey sense at all? Do you have any of that when you do your activations at all?
You know, not really. And I've had, like, I call them like mini pileups, because I'll get a whole bunch, right? I'll get like 5 or 6, maybe 10, 15, like all coming at me, and then it goes dead for a while, and then I'll get one here, one there, and then all of a sudden I'll get another pile up. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an ongoing pile up for hours upon hours.
So it's not a continuous wave.
Yeah, and when I did that one when I was, I think my first one when I was at Silver Lake, that just came on and it just didn't stop. And like I looked up, and when I got there, I was sitting on this nice park bench and I had my tent out and I was just, you know, everything was good. And I was so intense on making the contacts, logging the information, that when it finally died, like, I was there for like, what, 2.5 hours? Yeah, I mean, literally 2.5 hours of nonstop. And like, I was losing my voice. I was like out of water. I was like done, right? I'm like, I got to get at it. And I looked up and it was pitch black. Now, I don't know if you guys know, like those of you that aren't from New England, like when you get to New Hampshire and you get like away from the lights, there's not like a lot of lights, like street lights.
It's dark.
So when it's dark, it's like black. And if there's no moon out there, and of course, you know, I don't have my flashlight with me. All I have is my phone, and you know, everyone's been texting me and my phone's running out of battery. So I've only got like a little bit of light left, and I'm like, oh, this is, and I just couldn't believe it, how I was so into it that I didn't even realize it was getting dark out. And I didn't even realize what time it was. I think I left at like 10:30 or something. I started at 7. Yeah. So that was, and you, sometimes you get into that zone. That's what I call it. It's like the pileup zone. And you just working people and they're working you and they're just happy you called them. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear like foreign stations, like DX stations, like a lot of Italy and stuff you'll get. But sometimes it's like they're weak, but you hear them. So sometimes I'll focus in on them and give them a shot, even though I got a whole bunch of people that I've got, you know, 5-9, 5-9, but I might have like a 4-3 or a 4-4, but I can hear them and I'm trying to get the call sign to get the DX contact. That'll give you also a little bit of a break from the monotonous of just going through the whole thing. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's, again, you're in control. So you play it the way you want to do it. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. I think I do it differently than you might do it, Eric. But it's you're controlling it, and it's your pile up, and you know, just you work it as you want to work it. And you know, you don't have to be super fast at it, but it was great experience for me because it gave me a lot of confidence getting on the radio, and it gave me a lot of confidence working these contests with these, like, I call them the professional DXers, you know, that are like 5'9", you know, but it gave me a lot of confidence to reach out and throw my call sign out there and see if I could work them, just because I had that experience of getting so many people calling me, which is the best part. So that's, I actually love it. It's the best part of POTA, activating it and pileups. You can't beat it. Like that is the ultimate ham radio for me. That's it. Okay. POTA activating pileups.
So I feel like we're just kind of glazing the top of this, top of the cake here a little bit. What I want to really kind of do is, you definitely talked about sharing. Let's kind of share a little bit about like how you do your, and again, like you had said, it's not the same for everybody. Everybody handles a little differently. And I know there's some hunters out there that I'm even starting to adapt my strategy to match theirs a little bit. And it seems to be like more and more of the pile up in general from a standpoint of activations seems to be following, you know, lockstep with a lot of DX, you know, nomenclature. So like you had mentioned, like a lot of you get into a contest or whatever, and it's like, it's always, everything's a 5'9". I'm starting to kind of see that too as well in POTA. Because, you know, as we all know, you know, when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, that signal report doesn't mean anything in the POTA world. You know, it's just a, you know, it's more for just the general contacts and your LOTWs and that type of stuff. So, you know, one of the things I think let's kind of just tear it apart. So like, I'll talk a little bit about how I do my activations and kind of some of the things when I get hit up with the pileup, what I do to react or how I, you know, react to it. And then, you know, you can kind of bounce off and you know, do the same for you. And then maybe we'll try to meet somewhere in the middle. So for me, when I activate, I'll go out, and once I finally done all of my typical sweeps of, you know, park to parks and whatever else, and I finally get to a, you know, frequency, I can settle in and I start, you know, activating. I get a trickle here and there. When that pileup starts to come in, I can sense very early on the initial, what I call the aggravation, you know, hunter, the one who, like you had mentioned, keeps always throwing their call out even before you say QRZ, and then they'll keep throwing their call on top of you, and they just want you to pick them out. And for a while, I always used to take them first just to get them off the list. You know, that is like, you know, that's like giving a kid who keeps saying they want candy all the time. You say no, and then you finally give in and give them candy. They just continue to proliferate and continue to do the same bad habits over and over again. So I've learned not to do that. I tried a while for, you know, the purposes of following the let's do all the ones, let's do all the twos, let's do all the KAs, let's do all the alpha alphas. And I got so confused a lot of times, because what ended up happening is those bad hunters, the bad actors would get in there and throw their ones in again after I've already gone through the ones. And you're just like, all right, do I go back and answer him? So I kind of scrapped those two strategies, and I went with, okay, always have a notepad with me. I sit there and I listen. And when they finally all come charging at me, I write down the four calls I can hear, and I write them down. And while I'm writing them down, I'm okay, the next, you know, breath, I'm picking up the microphone and I'm yelling, you know, the first call I hear. And a lot of times that can't be the loudest one. A lot of times it might not be even a QRP station. And, you know, it might be just something I kind of heard, like three letters and a one, or three letters and a six or whatever. For me, that's enough to be able to get that person. And it clears the mechanism a bit and gets them in, and I get them checked in. And I've learned before, because I used to be, you know, very meticulous about the, oh, your signal is a 3-3, or your signal is a 4-4, or a 5-3, or, you know, looking down at the S meter, trying to get them signaled. When I sense the pileup, all bets are off. I'm just like, yeah, you're a 5-9. Yep. Yeah, 7-3. Move on. You know, I don't even ask for any of the states, because I know most of the stuff will check out when I, you know, go through the QRZ lookup or whatever. And so I'll handle all of the calls I hear, and then I'll be listening, hopefully in the background. And again, my listening skills are decent. I don't always get it right. I always forget. I always write down maybe an incorrect call. But in essence, like you said, you own it. So this is your pileup. You get to manage it how you want. And if you screw it up, well, hey, you screwed it up. Just move along, you know, because there'll be more out there. What I run into 9 times out of 10, when the pileup is at the height of everything, you're like, wow, I want this to keep going. And then you're on the downward cycle and you're like, oh man, I had like 15 calls 10 minutes ago. Now I'm barely getting one or two. What happened? Like, did I do them injustice because I didn't give them the time and do, you know, diligence or what? And so I'm still working on that part. But for me, when I'm handling all of that traffic and all those people, and actually one tip I would recommend for anybody, if they want to get better at that, is go run a traffic net. you know, go listen to those people that check into constant traffic nets on VHF and UHF all the time, because no matter how many times you tell them, please respond your call phonetically and slowly, it's a blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you're like, what? What was your call again? Is a one or is that a five or, you know, whatever be the case. And so you end up just going like, you know, I'll get back to you later. And, you know, that kind of toughened me up a little bit to when I started, you know, dealing with more pileups, to just like ignore the ones that just, you know, aren't clear enough, and I'll eventually get to them. So that's kind of how I handle it a bit. So you talk a little about yours.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do the same way. I definitely, the guy that's calling me and interrupting and calling before I even, you know, finish the last contact or whatever, I don't care how loud he is, I'll ignore him and go with someone else until he waits his turn and has the etiquette of the pileup, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely good advice with a notepaper, piece of, you know, a notebook and a pen or a pencil where you can just write down. There's a guy that I've listened to when he activated. He listens to the pileup. He's pretty good at it. He'll listen to everyone's call sign, and I don't know how he does it, but then he'll stop and he'll take like five stations that he heard in that, instead of doing one at a time. Mm-hmm. I haven't mastered that yet. I wish I could, because I like the way that works, but it's very hard to do. I always give priority to QRP, obviously park to parks, you know, park to park always, you know, and I think everyone does that. But, you know, I think the park to park is, you got two people out there activating. It's a lot more effort to activate than it is to hunt. Yep. So, you know, they should get the priority.
It's funny you say that, because it's like, I'm seeing that starting to be a fat, like a fad and fade away now. Like some of the activators that I've heard talk about park to parks, or how they do their, you know, dealing with the pileups, they tend, or they've done it to me, it's like, I'll be like, I'll hear a pile up and I'll chime in, I'll be like, park to park, and all of a sudden they'll be like, park to park, please hold, I'm gonna go deal with this other call. And I'm like, we called in at the same time, so I thought in the world of POTA, you know, park to parks were royalty. Because like you had said, it's like you're in the middle of your own activation. But I find a lot of, you know, a lot of activators are just, you know, they're less taking them as priority over everything, and they'll go after other stuff first and then go back to your park to park, because they know you're going to be there. You're not like, I guess, going to be leaving anytime soon. But
well, like when I start an activation, for the most part, I will, if I'm doing, say, 20 meters, I'll just go through all the 20 meters. Can I hear them? See if they're there, try to reach them. You know, you get a couple contacts, sometimes you don't get any. And then I move on, you know, then I move on to get my own frequency and, you know, start doing my own thing. Yeah, I think it's, everyone has their own priority on how to do it. I mean, I personally, you know, I figure QRP is, I have a lot of respect for these guys that do QRP. They're working really hard. They got low wattage, you know, and if they can, if I can hear them, I mean, they deserve the contact. You know, over a guy that's pushing 500 watts and I can hear clear as day, you know,
right?
Exactly. The QRP guys, you know, guys that are mobile, marine, you know, maritime, I'll give those guys, like if there's a guy out in a boat somewhere and I hear that, you know, that'll jump up.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to be the strongest contact, but if I hear them, they're a rarity, right? They're not like just the usual guy. But like I said, if I have all the time in the world and I don't have anywhere to go, I'll stop in the middle of it and say, hey, I'm still going to stay here till I get here. Hang around. I'm working everyone. Just, you know, be patient. I'm doing as best I can. And, you know, some people end up leaving. But I think the other thing, when you say like it just stops, I think there's only so many people hunting at one time, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have 150 contacts, like how many more people are out there hunting at that time? You know, you might have gotten them all. That's why it slows down. I mean, that's my theory.
It makes sense. It makes me feel better though.
Right? Like this, I mean, I don't know how many people would be out there, but it's like, you know, I notice like when you're in a long pile up and you've been working like over 100, sometimes that's when you start getting duplicates, because people are just going around hunting and they don't remember who they worked you or not. And then it pops up on, you know, if you have the internet on your, like I switched my laptop to a LTC or LTE, you know, wireless one, so I can see now if it's a duplicate, right? When they call, I put their call sign. He says, hey, it was a dupe. Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, no problem. Hey, I'll be on 10 meters later. Look for me then.
Yep.
All right. And then some of those guys will wait, and then they'll see you on 10 meters, and then they'll call you back. So it's another way to, if you're planning on doing two bands or more, so. Do a little advertising while you're doing your activation.
Yeah, that's actually a good point there. So cool. All right. So we kind of got some established, what an activation looks like, how you deal with the pileups, what a pileup, can turn into, and what, can be a little bit of a challenge to be faced with. But I think we kind of established that you are in control. It's your activation. So you get to set the what happens and how everything plays out. And so if you need that break or you need that, pause, that it's totally, acceptable. And, whether or not those hunters care or in a place to, not hang around, that they will, eventually come back if they really need you. So I think one of the things we can try is let's see if we can kind of put some closure to this process, because obviously we could go into the pros and cons of why a pile up or, what a pile up can look like and how, the things that can break it, very fast, and those that can keep it going forever. I don't think those are all, concrete things, and they always are, dynamic, and they will change depending on the band conditions, where you're at and who you work and how, popular you might be in the location you're at. But what kind of summary statements can we put together, that would basically say that when you're doing a pile up, what three things do you want to do before you kind of let it get out of control?
I think for one, stay calm and, be whatever works for you. There's no right or wrong way to do it. So if you're used to hearing the loudest station and that's what you want to do, and you don't care if they're QRP or park to park, just do that. I've noticed when you hunt, there are some guys that they'll like to pick the stations that they hear first. And then there's other ones that they'll pick that they hear last in the pileup. So if you're in a pileup, sometimes if you're the first guy that they hear, that's the one they go with. Other times it's like the last guy they hear. There is no right or wrong way. You do it yourself. You do what's comfortable for you. And, with this whole talking about pileups, those of you who've not done POTA, please don't be discouraged about pileups and getting afraid to go out there and do it. Because I'm telling you, I didn't know how to talk on the radio. And my first pileup, I think, was like something clicked and it just brought my confidence up, because all of a sudden I was just working it the way I wanted to work it. And I was getting the contacts and I was just having fun. So if you're not comfortable speaking on the radio, or you think you don't get pileups all the time, but if you do, you can go as fast or slow as you want. I mean, the worst thing that's going to happen is they're just going to go move on to another station. Right. And they're probably going to come back when things quiet down a little bit.
Yep.
So don't get discouraged if you're not comfortable, you think you can't do pileups. The only way to really learn how to do them is to get into one and physically do it. Mm-hmm. And, and you'll try different things and you'll see what works for you. So that's my biggest advice. Like, I don't want this podcast or anyone watching this to be discouraged about doing a POTA activation in fear of getting a pileup. You actually want pileups because it makes the radio, and the POTA, it makes it a lot more fun.
It's an adrenaline rush. It literally is an
adrenaline rush. Yeah. And time will fly by and you won't even know how many contacts you go. And then you look, and when you have to scroll through your log to see all your contacts, that's a good feeling. You're like, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and those are like what I call the high times of life, because when you're in you get three or four of those. And I know when I started my early POTA, career, I was like, my gosh, this is so awesome. I got to do this all the time. And then, we had a dip, solar cycle wasn't that great. And I can remember the first time, I barely scraped 10 together. And I was like, what has happened? Did I do something wrong? Like, is the magic dust not sprinkled on my head any longer? Can I not turn water to wine? Whatever the case, it was like, it just kind of all fell flat. And then I realized it's like, oh yeah, that's just normal for this process. And, it's you got a chance to try it as a novice and get used to it, like your technician. And then when you get to general, it's like all of a sudden you're opened up to this world of like, what the hell is 20 and 40? It's like, I only know them as multiples of each other on the, you know, mass scale. But it's like, you think, okay, you know, like you said, Todd, if you're fearful of those moments, then don't try to do everything on your own. If you want to go out, try to go to a POTA meetup, try to go to some other place where other people are there that can help guide you along the way, because they may have a, you know, some success in doing pileups, or, you know, helping you through, or helping you recognize that you're in the middle of a pileup, because you might not know what one looks like. And it just all of a sudden might just hit you real hard. And you're like, okay, what did I just deal with? You know, and I'm tripping over your words, and you're not making sense, and you're stumbling all the time. That's totally okay. Like, you know, as Todd said, that it's a matter of commanding the pileup your way and how you want to do it. So staying calm is obviously awesome. And go with what's comfortable, as Todd said, which is definitely the second thing I would say bullet wise. And then how you manage those people, like you said, you know, it's a style. It's like, how do you, you know, longest, who's the short, you know, who's the quietest call, you know, is it DX versus, you know, stateside, is it a one call versus a five call, whatever, how you do that. That's just how you're comfortable with stuff and how you deal with rote memorization and that, you know, that type of thing when it's going, you know, from the fire hose standpoint, you just want to figure out how you can deal with it quickly. And funny thing is that a lot of hunters will realize, or may realize, that you are new to this, and they may just step away for a little while, go find something else, and then they'll come back when the, you know, it's calmed down a bit.
Yeah, my experience is the hunters are very grateful that you worked them, you know, and they thank you. Thank you for activating, you know, because I think there's guys out there that don't activate. They just like to hunt. Like, that's the part of POTA that they like. And they're just grateful that you're out there, and they always thank you. Thanks for acting. Thanks for being out there. Thanks for doing this. Another advice is make a cheat sheet. You know, it can get, you know, it can get overwhelming, and especially if you're new at doing it, and write down kind of like, you know, a bullet point of what you say, you know, QRZ, mm-hmm. and then, you know, what you know, write a call sign, you know, repeat the call sign, whatever you need to do to make you feel comfortable with doing it. And like I said, for me, I'm a learner that you can tell me how to do things. You could write it. I was terrible at school when it came to like lectures and stuff. It just doesn't work for me. But when I do it, I got better at it, because that's how I work. Now, other people might not do it that way, but I mean, Eric, you can attest. The first time when I got my general and we activated my first park, I was a disaster.
You were definitely new. I was a disaster.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to respond. I didn't know what they were saying. But a little practice, and all of a sudden, you know, it starts to get, you know, you're now it's like I feel really comfortable doing it. And, you know, I've had people in my family, you know, watch me hunt or actually do a park, and they're just kind of amazed. They're like, what are you saying, like all those code, you know, the ham code, like you learn them all when you take your test, right? Mm-hmm. But you're like, well, when do you ever use them? But I can hear them now, and you can go back and forth, and it's almost like, you know, you're it's kind of the way I think, like an air traffic controller, right? If you're not flying airplanes, or if you ever listen to an aircraft, they call out the tail numbers, they do this, they repeat, and you're like, what are they talking about? But I think if you do it every day and you know what you're listening for certain things, it becomes like its own
language.
I don't know. It's like its own language or its own thing, and it's not really that complicated. So like when I do pileups, it's just like, it's like the pileup language. I know I'm listening for call signs. I'm listening for, and if they say park to park, I'm trying to get their park too, you know, make sure you get that park. But I was listening to another podcast. They're saying now that on the park to parks, you don't even have to, write them down anymore, but I don't know if that's true or not.
It is true, because in essence the POTA database does a phenomenal job of linking all that together. But in my mind, right, it's like I want my log to know of, right, you know, where and what park I was activating, because not to say that I don't trust the system, but the system could fall apart anyway. If I have all that data, I might as well have the right data, yeah, in my logs, because I'm pouring time into it. So, you know, I think the only other catch is, and I know what podcast you're talking about, but it was more so about like the grid squares too. Like they never used grid squares in FT8 when they were doing, they were making up a grid square. I'm like, really? Who makes up grid squares? Why did you do that? But
I like that's like with a park to park, you know, that adds another layer, right? Because you have to get their park.
Yep.
So if you're in a pile up and then you get a park to park, you got to like, so that's where a cheat sheet might be good. Like you could say, if it's a park to park, add, you know, line four, you know, make sure you get, you know, K, you know, whatever, and that they get yours. But yeah, it's a great experience. It's literally my, out of all the things I've done, and I haven't done a lot in ham radio, but the things that I've done, like POTA, field day, like being out on the outside the shack is probably my favorite thing. Being out in a field, at a park, portable antenna, portable radio, making contacts, talking to people around the world. That's where I find it to be at. And I think that's why I'm so attracted to POTA and wanting to do it. You know, I would much, if you said, hey, would you rather just sit and work stuff on the shack, or do you want to go out and do a POTA? I would jump on a POTA any day.
Yep.
Because for me, that's just more exciting.
Well, and we find that a lot when we do our POTA meetups, the people that, you know, have never done it before all of a sudden show up and they're like, wow, this is actually not bad. I'm not in my shack. I'm not just stuck to what I have. I get a chance to experience a whole new series of calls and contacts and locations that you normally wouldn't get when you're in a certain spot, unless you have a, you know, 75-foot tower and a 5-element beam and half a kilowatt behind you. But, you know, even then, you know, that's not always a guarantee. But I'm with you. The park element of it is definitely the one thing I love the most, and it doesn't matter what season it is. But you know, when it comes to the pileups, it's very much like I call it like the dance. Like you know, when I'm in it, it's like you're hearing your favorite music in the background blaring in your head over and over again, because you're just like, I'm in the groove, I'm doing this thing. And if you've done them enough, you want them to keep going. It's not like, and you're trying the best every time when you're doing a pileup to get better, so you don't annoy those folks that are just like the seasoned hunters that just want the contact to move on to get to the next thing, but at the same time still trying to keep the delicate balance of new people that might be hopping on and just, you know, they want to do a quick, you know, conversation, which, you know, I think hunters are getting smart enough and listening more, hopefully, that the, when you're in those pileups and you're working those pileups, they don't just stop you and say, hey, you know, what's the weather? What are you running for an antenna? And it's like, I am just right in the middle of the groove, dude. I would love to have that conversation with you, but now is not the time. And I don't, you know, I can't say that to somebody because it's rude. But at the same time, you want to, you know, give them the time, because it's going to keep them coming back for the next person who does the next activation and whatever. And, you know, they'll make that program that much better, and, you know, making everybody's life that much better.
You know, everyone talks about, you know, like you get your license and you can transmit and do it, but, you know, you can listen and you don't need a license. And I really would advise anyone who is thinking about, you know, doing POTA and getting out and activating parks, and if you've never done it before, just listen to pileups. Go on, find a station that's got a pile, just listen to how they do it, and then go to another one, listen how that guy does it, and you'll see the different ways that they do it, and they're all right, and that's just what works for them, and you'll get your own style.
Yeah,
like I said, when you're activating, that hunters are very thankful that you're out there, because without you they can't hunt. So they're very appreciative when you're out there and it's like, you know, a blizzard outside, or it's 10 degrees out,
115 degrees outside, and you're out activating in the middle of Texas. Yes.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I haven't gotten Alaska yet from hunting, and I'm trying, but I know there's a guy out there and I have him on my hammers, and, you know, he's out there and he's like, you know, it's 20 below and he's in a tent in the middle of like a frozen lake.
Yeah.
And you know, he's out there, like, that guy gets a lot of props for me. Like, good for you, man. Like, you're out there, like, not only, you know, dealing with the elements, but you're out there, like, and he does it on a regular basis, pretty much. You know, he gets in a groove and he'll do them for like a week straight. But I mean, I've seen guys, like, even locally, like, I'll pick up, you know, sometimes you'll pick up a local, you know, in New Hampshire, Mass, or Connecticut, and we'll be in a, like, a huge rainstorm. Like, what are you doing out there in the rain?
I know.
You know, they're like, oh, I'm activated. I'm like, hope you're in a tent.
Yeah, there's one, I think he's, they call him the Flying Hawaiian, I think is what his nickname is. He's one of the activators out in Hawaii. I don't know whether he's out on Maui or what. I'm trying to look up his call sign, and I'm so sad I can't remember what it is. Oh, it is. No, that's on the Hawaiian parks. Dang it. I used to have him in my ham alert, but then I basically just put all Hawaii parks. But he'll set up, like, and you can watch. I don't know if he has a YouTube channel, but he sets himself up and he goes out there and, like, he'll post on Facebook, Facebook group. So if you ever want to see him, you can definitely see some of his posts. But he'll be out there for 7-8 hours straight. And, like, he'll be like, I flipped the different bands. I did FT8 this part of an hour, so a couple hours. I did sideband for this side. I had my antenna up, but my batteries didn't last long. I mean, he'll go on and on about, like, how many, all of the ups and downs and everything he had. But you can sense the excitement in his voice because he was freaking drinking from the fire hose for 9 hours straight. There was everybody and their grandmother out to get him to make sure that they were making contact. And if he's following this, you know, the gray line, it can only get worse, because at that point it's just like getting, you know, they're all like just creeping up on him. And so by the time he finishes with the West Coast stuff and East Coast, he's going to get hit by Japan and everybody else along the way. So it was like, yeah, that would be my ultimate dream, you know, being a Hula pileup, and maybe one day I'll get to that point. But, you know, when the pileups come about, and like we've all said, I think once you get over the fear and shock of it and you understand, or you get a chance to watch somebody before you get to do your own, that might be more helpful. But if you get in your own, don't be fearful. Know you'll get through it. And when you get through it, that you're going to be hunger for more and you're going to want more. And you're going to have to find people that share that same thing. Like, you know, Todd and I share all the time when we talk about our POTA activation. It's kind of silly, but, you know, at the same time, it's still like, dude, I'm excited for you. It's like, I want more of that. I want, you know, I want you to have that same thing. And I want to be able to go out and do my next park and do the same thing all over again, because it's just it's a great
deal. Yeah. I'm always guilty of calling you after a good activation. I'm like, I hope he doesn't think I'm like trying to brag and stick it in his face. Like, I'm just like, I need to tell someone. I can't call my wife. She'll be like, big deal, you know, but you'll be like, oh, that's awesome. You know, man, I'm going to try to get out later. The 20 is so good. Yeah, I got a quick job and then I'll pick one up on the way out. I mean, but that's really what it's all about. I mean, it's just getting out there on the air and working this, and POTA's getting so big. I mean, you look like in the evening and you go on and you look at how many stations are out there, how many parks are being active, and then you look at the waterfall and on your radio, on your screen, and you'll see like half the stations on there are POTA. Like, sometimes I'll spin the knob and I'll be like, I'll just hit a guy and I'm like, oh crap, that's a POTA station. I wasn't even looking for him.
You really have to spin the dial to look for DX.
Yeah. It's like getting harder and harder, right?
Because most of the DX is a POTA park somewhere else in the world.
Right.
9 times out of 10, you were like, wow, that's a big pileup. I went looking at the SDR and you're like, oh, that's a POTA park. Oh, that's another POTA park. Yeah. Oh, I got to activate that one. So, yeah.
But you know, I think it's good because it's getting people outside and it's getting more people on the air. And, you know, I know that there's like a lot of DXers that I've heard, like, they don't like parks on the air because it's, you know, it's taking up space or whatever, but I think it's great for the hobby and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's all about having fun, and, you know, you meet a lot of great people. And if you don't get the pile up, you know, I'll be one of these guys that if I don't have a pile up and someone wants to talk to me while I'm doing an activation, I'll spend 5 minutes talking to them, because the way I look at it is you're getting a lot of,
intel,
you know. Yeah, but you're on the grid, right? You're making a lot of noise on the radio and people are hunting. They're going to say, oh, this guy's, you know, he's there. Like, I can hear him good. Mm-hmm. And then typically after you have that 5 minute conversation, sometimes you get a pile up after that because everyone could hear you because you've been having a conversation and you're not just saying the same thing. They're like, oh, this guy, I'm going to get this guy when he's done. And then boom, you know, now you're in the zone again.
Totally. All right, cool. So I think we kind of shaped it. We put a little, you know, bow on this to wrap it all up and everything. But I think we definitely kind of gave you, hopefully our listeners, the opportunity to learn a little bit more about, you know, the secret sauce to pileups. And that really is, there is no secret sauce, because pileups are always going to be a mystery every time because everything else affects it. But there are things that can, you know, if you're seasoned, you know, activator, that you can use to maybe, you know, improve your next pile up or get better when you do your activations. But if you're like starting out, you know, I think you've got three good things to be able to start with. And the biggest thing I think is do it with somebody else. If you're doing it with somebody else, you're going to be more successful. You're going to learn. You're going to laugh at each other when you make the mistakes and you stumble over your words or whatever. But you're both going to be encouraging, you know, in the process, and you're just going to get that much better. So, you know, with that, pileups always should be the, you know, the end result if you can, or try to get as many as you can. Don't shut them down too early. Definitely keep them going as long as you can, and you know you will get better. Everybody does. And like Todd said earlier, listening is a big thing. If you can get out there and just spin the dial and listen to how activators do their pileups, you can hear, if you can hear them well, you can hear how they have their rhythm, how they have their you know, strategy of how they handle certain, you know, stations, how they deal with bad actors, you know, that whole or thing. And you can might be able to glean something from it. Definitely being in front of somebody who's doing it, who's a very good activator, is a big plus. So, you know, all great stuff.
Yeah. My last comments would be like, if anyone out there who's listening to this podcast, please, you know, send us some information, like send us an email, contact us. I want to know what your thoughts are on whether you're never activated and questions you might have, or if you are an activator, you know, what is your experience and what have you done maybe that we didn't talk about here? Because I think, you know, part of this podcast, and I think all the podcasts, it's really just for all of us in the ham radio hobby, you know, to learn and get advice and learn from each other. So if there's anyone out there that's listening, please, we'd love to hear your comments. We'd love to hear your experiences, because they give us something to kind of reach it back out to you. And also we could also share it, you know, on another podcast of what you guys have experiences, and maybe even have you on as a guest.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, we're all big POTA fans, and we like to talk a lot about POTA and any chance we get. So I think, you know, we're going to talk, you know, as much as we can and continue on. So, you know, like Todd said, jump in. You can, this is actually a good, you know, segue into the end here. So, you know, as always, we appreciate all you guys listening to the Live Free and Ham podcast community. You know, remember, if you haven't subscribed, you got to, you know, subscribe to get our latest info and updates of what we're doing, because we're always trying to, you know, reach out to our community and stay connected with you guys. And you can always do one of three ways to connect with us. Definitely leave us a review on our iTunes or our website. And you can head over to our website at livefreeandham.com. Or over to iTunes and just look for Live Free and Ham Podcast. You can connect with us on social media. You can always get our latest information, shows, and any of our content. And as always, you know, with every show and every community we're trying to build, you know, you can help support the show, obviously, through, you know, your comments down below or your reviews. But if you want to help out us through our Patreon and buy us a beer links, they are in all our show notes and on our website, as every bit always helps our show. And if you want to contact any of our hosts, all our contact information for us can be found on livefreeandham.com. So as always, you know, you guys are all 5'9"s. Thanks again for listening to us. From all of us from Live Free and Ham, 73.
73, guys.